Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Prayers, Apostle Arkady writes, that are brought to God upon an altar that is not cleansed from the chaff of the flesh and thoughts is an abomination. And prayers that are brought to God upon an altar that is cleansed from dead works, from chaff and of the flesh and thoughts, this is acceptable to God. And as we see, all depends upon the altar. And the scriptures say, 7 days you shall consecrate the altar, and it will be very holy, and anything that is placed upon it will be sanctified. We are the altar, and every time we offer to God any sacrifice, either with word or action, these offerings will either be accepted by God and accepted and be acceptable, or will be rejected, and God will perceive them as an abomination. The offering that is placed upon the altar, which we are, we need to determine how or who we are in that moment. We need to sanctify it for 7 days. In the book of Exodus, you can find that. We will look at seven means by which you can sanctify your altar. We are able to offer ourselves a living sacrifice and an altar, and the altar be sanctified so that anything placed, any offering on this altar, will be acceptable to God. We need to cleanse it so that it can be consecrated to the Lord. So the seven means of sanctifying our altar. And the first is the means to sanctify ourselves with as an altar, collaborating with the Holy Spirit and the delegated authority of God, is the truth of the blood. It cleanses us and sanctifies the altar, the truth of the cross, the truth of the water, the truth of the oil, the truth of the spirit of judgment, the truth of the spirit of fire, and the truth of the spirit of prayer. All of the seven means, Apostle Arkady writes, in the form of the seven promises, are given by God to the Holy Spirit and the delegated authority of God. For all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us, through the Apostle, 2 Corinthians 1:20. And so all of these promises that will cleanse us and will prepare as a sanctified altar, everything that now is placed upon it will be acceptable. We need to apply these. We need to understand them. We need to understand that all of these seven means the Lord has given to his delegated authority and the Holy Spirit, and they will be passed on to us in the format of truth. We won't just cleanse ourselves with blood. The most important part is that we won't just be sanctifying ourselves by the cross, but the truth of the cross, not wash ourselves just with water, but understand the truth of the water. We won't just anoint ourselves with oil, but we need to understand the truth of the oil, the spirit of judgment and fire, and the spirit of prayer. All of these the Lord has passed on to his apostles, and they pass them on to us in the format of the preached word, and the Holy Spirit then comes and begins to explain this, and using this truth, he cleanses us as an altar so we can be holy before God. And so now every time we offer God with our offer our tithes and offerings to God, then the Lord will accept this. Let us shortly look at these seven that will be able to cleanse us and consecrate us. The first is the truth of the blood. The truth of the blood, Apostle Arkady writes, is called to cleanse us from sin. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. When does the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sin? When we walk in the light. And Pastor says, how does God God, or pastor explains how God walks in his light. This is the light of his word, and we walk in the light of his word. And we can determine this by how you treat one another and fellowship with one another. And this will then allow us to be cleansed. And so we need to have a relationship with the delegated authority of God, the messenger of God, and relationship with one another, and have a good relationship, the proper relationship with one another. As on Friday, Pastor Arkady had shown in his labors to confess, to be able to confess all of our sins before the messengers of God. But if I can't forgive, my brother, then none of my sins will be forgiven. We need to walk in the light of the entire word, and that includes having a good relationship, a proper relationship with the messenger of God and with all of the saints. The second is the truth of the cross. It is called to cleanse us from the manufacture of sin. Romans 6:6-7, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. And so the truth of the cross delivers us from the manufacturer of sin, the old man. And this deliverance takes place not from the position of your feelings, but knowledge. We accept this news in the format of the truth of the cross of Christ. The truth is not something I feel, it's something I know. I know that my old man has been crucified with him. This is knowledge. I count myself dead to sin, living for God, and now proclaim the not existent as existent, because it is existent in Jesus Christ, although I may not see it in reality, but it is in Jesus Christ, and I have the legitimate right to the blood of Christ that first justified me. Now I take this inheritance and I say, Lord, this not existent that's in my life, it exists in you, and I, using the cross of Christ, am ready to open up and make this a reality in my life. But first, it's necessary that our old man be crucified with him. And sometimes people say, I would like to see this old man whom the Lord will throw out. I said, it's very simple. Look in the mirror. When you scream at your wife or husband, look into the mirror. This is the old man. Sometimes we think that it's a criminal with a large red beard or something, some kind of image like this. Look into the Pope of Rome, for example, or go to another church, many different churches, where the Lord did not delegate it to these people or allow them to speak the truth. And so these are not just an image of a criminal. This is a program that works in us and the old man when we approach the moment of the erection of the stronghold of life within our body. The only place where he will still be active will be, as we know and we talked about on Friday, our soul, our mind needs to be freed from false strongholds of salvation, false and dead religious works. And our body also, our body needs to be given as a slave of righteousness, not slaves of lawlessness and sin. We practically uproot all the entire old man, or more accurately, the program of the old man within us, the program of death and hell. We have removed him. And the only thing that will still remain is corruption. And the corruption will then put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. And so if we, the Lord will allow us to get to the point of rapture, and we have eliminated these strongholds of salvation in our mind, if our body continues to give itself to slaves of righteousness, but if it gives our body, if our body has been given to slave of sin, as a slave of sin, then we will remain in that corruption, of course. It's as I saw a crab under a rock, and I pick him up and I say, oh, look at this crab is dead. The fish must have eaten him, but no, it actually was his outer shell that he had already removed, and he's fine somewhere in the ocean. And this is what's left behind, and that's what we leave behind. As in the example, so the devil knows when this is removed and we put on immortality, then we will be very dangerous for hell. We will be very dangerous for hell because we will destroy him. And so we need to understand that this program that is in the form of the old man, it needs to leave its signs only in corruption in the body. This is the only thing that still will remain at the time of rapture. And this you will see obviously in your body as it's aging, the gray hairs or other things. These are just examples. And illnesses, these are in the body, these will be the final signs of the old man. He will desperately be trying to hold on to the body because it's the only place he could still hold on to. And once it's turned off, this program will no longer function within us. As the most beautiful of women had said, I've cast off my robe, how can I put it on again? And I washed my feet, how can I defile them again? I was cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ because I had forgiven those who sin against me. That's what she said. Why would I defile them? I have cast off my robe. I have removed that final area or place of where this old man was showing himself, working and functioning. And it will be removed for man. And so when people just imagine some kind of criminal with someone like in the movie of horrors, and so again, the old man will just remain in those areas where you could still see with your physical eyes. The truth of water is called to cleanse us from touching the dead. Numbers 19:13. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean. Because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him, his uncleanness is still on him. And so it's necessary for us to be cleansed with water when we touch the dead body or the dead. This is not this is not where you activate the truth of the blood. Sometimes a person is outwardly possessed, and they come to pastor and ask for prayer. When we have come in contact with some kind of curse, something dead, something occult, and this is only possible, you can become free of this by hearing the word of truth. You need to continue hearing the word of truth, and the word of truth will free you of this occult state a person is in. There's a difference. A person who is possessed will never come up to pastor and say, you know, I think I'm possessed. The person who is possessed will say, why did you come before your time to bother us? And a person that's occult, as one who has come in contact with something occult or something that is dead, he will feel like something's wrong in him and he needs help. And so this person needs to be told that you need to hear the truth, abide in the truth, and that truth will, this is the truth of the water, the truth of the oil is called to take part in the cleansing us from leprosy. Leviticus 14:26-29. Then the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put some of the oil that is in his hand on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed to make atonement for him before the Lord. And so that's how a person who was leprous was cleansed by using oil. A priest would put oil in his right, into his hand, and then would dip his finger in it, and then would put some on his ear, upon his on his finger and foot, and all that remained, he put on his head, and a person was healed. But first, was blood. We talked about the first step is that we prepare ourselves as offering for the Lord. We cleanse ourselves. The priest will ask a person if everything is good inside of his heart. If you've already worked with the blood, the truth of the blood, the truth of the cross, and the truth of the water, and now the truth of the oil is already applied after all of these things. And we need to understand that a person who's sprinkling me, with what hand is he sprinkling? You can only sprinkle with the right hand if you are sent by God. A person who is not sent by God, he sprinkles everyone with the left hand and the left ear, the left hand and left foot. And that's not how the Lord instructed things to happen. He wanted that a person be, the priest anoint the people with his right hand. And so people in the democratic churches, that they think that they're cleansed. If they're not cleansed according to God's instruction, you need to determine what hand is sprinkling you. And the right hand of a priest is a priest whom God has delegated in my life and not someone I have elected or we elected by the form of a vote. The next is the truth of the spirit of judgment. It is called to cleanse from the mind of the wicked. Job 36:16-17. Indeed, he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint, and what is set on your table would be full of richness. But you are filled with the judgment due the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold of you. Here we see that the truth of the spirit of judgment is called to free us from the mind of the wicked. What is the mind of the wicked? It's very simple. The mind, the judgment of the wicked is when we judge that and the one that we have no responsibility for. When we judge the one we are not responsible for. If we judge the one we are responsible for, then we will need the truth of the spirit of judgment. We need to judge our behavior and not seek this plank in the eye of our brother, but or the speck in the eye of my brother when I have a plank in my own eye. And so we then need to acknowledge that we judge those who we are not responsible for, and we condemn this behavior. The truth of the spirit of fire, it is called to cleanse us from the chaff of the flesh. Malachi 3:3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. To offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness, you need the spirit of fire to cleanse us from the chaff of the flesh. Every time we receive the word, we receive the word in its undamaged form, in its original form, and our intention is to keep it, preserve it that way inside of ourselves. We need to cleanse it from our own personal chaff of the flesh, any inclusion or mixture, not allow your own commentary or make up things. Sometimes people incorrectly understood the word, and upon the level that they understand it, they try to then teach others. This is what pastor meant. This is what he said, and that he didn't say or mean those things. If a person that doesn't actually understand what was meant, this person needs to approach an elder, the pastor or a helper of pastor, and clarify whether this is truly understood correctly or not. We need the spirit of fire to be able to cleanse us from the chaff of the flesh, because every time the gold, the word of God, comes to us, then there are all these other inclusions. They try to cling to this as well, to stick to it, to change its way. The truth of the spirit of prayer is called to cleanse from the lack of thanksgiving or from being unthankful. 1 Timothy 4:4-5, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The Lord wants to cleanse us from being unthankful. Our food that we receive, it is all good, and it is sanctified by our prayer, a prayer that is a prayer of thanksgiving. And so people ask, why does God not bless the food? like we bless, we put our hands over and we bless the, we say, Lord, we thank you for this food. He thanks God for the food. He doesn't bless the food. And so we thank God for the food and we say, Lord, blessed be your name before we thank God for it. But people try to bless the table with the soup in it, or the plate with the soup in it. The plate that has the soup in it, they try to bless the food itself when the food is a blessing. Someone had already put the work in to make it, that it's already a blessing, and you just thank God for that blessing, not bless the food and the plate that the food is in. And we just need to receive it with thanksgiving when we are given something and we say, what is this? It's better to keep yourself from saying negative things, that when food is given to you and you speak of it negatively and in a very in a bad way, then that you're cursing the food, and it will likely cause unfortunate things for you. When a person is unthankful and receives this food will not bless him. We need to always, every time when we put anything in our mouth, anything, we need to receive it with thanksgiving. If we don't receive it with thanksgiving, it's better to withhold yourself, because it will be a curse then to you, a curse. Right now, we're going to sing a psalm and participate in the great service where we will bring an offering to the Lord. And as our pastor has shown, that for our offering to not be an abomination before him, for it to be acceptable before God, we need to work with the altar so that it be holy, but it will not be a great holiness to the Lord if we will not cleanse it seven times. That is, 7 days you will cleanse it, consecrate it, and it will be a great holiness then to the Lord. And we see how many components are included so that we can become this altar. Let us stand up and participate in this great service.
Сердечно за милости, заботы и любовь. И славлю я, Господь, тебя сердечно за милости, заботы и любовь. Ты знаешь все. Жизни украшаешь ты, пусть неизвестно мне, куда иду я, но я спокоен, путь мой знаешь ты, и славлю я, Господь, тебя сердечно за милости, заботы и любовь.
I will happily repeat after our pastor that every time when the nation of Israel honored God with their tithes and offerings in the tabernacle of Moses or temple of Solomon, they were required as a command from Moses, which he received as a revelation from God, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation, which they were faithful to for thousands of years, were the same Israel, connected to the same root, nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hand over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. Now, according to your words, I pray, may your heavenly windows be opened to me, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May you be blessed. Please be seated.